Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of JaysJournal.com and FanSided.com. We are the official barroom chat for everything Toronto Blue Jays baseball, from game highlights to rumors and all the stuff in between. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-host Jason Lyons and Liz McGuire. Now let's talk some Toronto Blue Jays baseball.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another evening of Jay Bird Watching. I hope you liked the new intro from our quote-unquote fifth member of the team this evening, Ken Alfred, who does apparently all of our editing but doesn't want to deal with us in the room anymore. But that's just a joke. We love Ken. Thank you for the help. So obviously, you see we have a full house this evening. We have a little bit to celebrate and some things that we obviously got to get off of our chest as Blue Jays fans this evening. First things first, I got a little bit of business we got to actually attend to. Liz McGuire, in my top right now, is now 100% official in the world of Jay Bird Watching. So, Liz, thank you very much for joining our weird shenanigans here every week. We are very gifted the fact that we get to have you here every week.
I'm pumped. I really wish that it didn't take 110 mile an hour ball to the face for you to find me, but fate is fate, and here we are, lads.
Yeah. Didn't run into you in the right bar per our pregame conversation here this evening, so... But apparently we're going to talk to your new neighbor, Scott Belford of the Walk Off Podcast. How the hell are you? First time, long time.
Oh man, it is so good to be back, dude. It has been well over a year, I think, since the last time that I got to come on the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. So I'm glad to be back, man. Things are good. Two series wins in a row. I just got back from Seattle. Trip that was booked well before the Blue Jays were terrible. And... I went in just hoping for a win and got two, and then to see them follow it up with two in San Francisco. Come on. Who is this team?
That's big time.
What shenanigans are happening here? We can't figure this out. And as many of you might have already noticed, we've had already our first dropout of the evening with Jason Lyons, my regular everyday co-host. Now, obviously, with Liz now on board, that we have a trifecta for you here every week. But Jason is on a road trip to, I forget where he said, where is he going?
Kelowna.
Kelowna, that's right.
I listen. Not very often, but I was listening.
You listen just enough, Scott. You must be a good podcast host. So let's dive right into it. And you were there, Scott. Tell us what you saw while you were obviously in Seattle for this year's invasion of Seattle. And obviously, I was glad to see from what I saw that there still was an invasion with what this team's going on. And then they got the win. So tell us what you saw. How much fun do you have?
I love that you brought that up, because that was something that I talked about on the podcast right before we flew into Seattle, was how many people are still going to come down. And it was as many as ever. And they were very boisterous. They were supporting the team, and everyone had more or less a good attitude. Like, everyone was just like, yeah, this team is not a playoff team, but we're here and we love this team. We die and live and breathe with the Toronto Blue Jays. So the West Coast invaded Seattle. There were people, I met people from Vancouver, from Victoria. I met a bunch of people from Saskatchewan and Alberta, because they'll get in their cars and drive 20 hours to get there, which is just dedication, you know. And then Seattle's a really cool city to begin with. So beautiful park. If you haven't been to T-Mobile, it is a top 10 park in Major League Baseball, I would say. I've only been to 15, but I'm working on it, folks, you know. And
that's a break.
Honestly,
yeah, still...
Go ahead. Two wins against a team that just doesn't allow runs. I was worried going into Seattle. That pitching staff is crazy.
It is 100% crazy. And you got to see the offense actually turn on and do something. So it was nice. That's the biggest thing I think I've seen over the last week in Blue Jays baseball. It's like, where did this offense come from?
As if from nowhere.
The bottom of the order is the answer.
It will, and as if from 100%. Nowhere, it soon will disappear. But it's nice to have Yes. And I cherish it.
Yeah. Well, I know that the Toronto Blue Jays, when they score three runs or more, have won 72% of their games.
Oh,
like,
that hurts.
Think, doesn't that hurt? Like, think how insane
if we
had Teo, that
we'd be slamming. We yeah. could be, although, like, he would be broken here. But if we weren't a cursed team, that'd be cool.
That would be very cool.
I mean, so, the Philadelphia Phillies, I know they're the best team in baseball. I know they're the best team in baseball, but they average 5.1 runs a game.
That's because they're a real team.
Oh, I miss being a real team.
Me too, man. We'll get back there in many years.
Well, in many years. You're like, we'll be much older, but we will get there.
We will get there.
You see why we brought her on this show? She brought the optimism back. There it is. So, but as far as that goes, you also had the benefit of actually hosting a Seattle Mariners / 2 second Blue Jay thing. In-
yeah.
Obviously, I'm going to give you a chance to shamelessly self-promote right at the beginning of the show here for this coming week.
Well, I appreciate that. So we did Baseball Town Seattle, and we're supposed to have Kirby Snead and Taylor Sosado on. Kirby Snead, of course, right beforehand, wound up getting DFA'd. He cleared waivers and was in AAA, so he wasn't able to make it. And Taylor Sosado had a surprise birthday party that his parents planned for. His grandparents had come to town as an aunts and uncles, and he calls me in a panic 3 hours out, which obviously then sent me into a panic of being like, you gotta be kidding me. So T-Sauce didn't make it, but nonetheless, we had Keegan Matheson of MLB.com come down. I know he was on the show when we did the Toronto show, Lizzie.
Yep.
And I've been running these shows. I started with it last September and wound up having David Schneider and Jay Jackson come down along
That's the one I was at.
Yeah, that was the one you were at. We had Blake Murphy from Sportsnet. We had like just a really awesome panel. So when I moved to Toronto, I was like, this is something I want to do. I want to do live baseball shows where us fans can get together. We can talk shit. We can it was supposed to be a celebration of the Blue Jays, and really it's turned into more like a therapy session for Blue Jays fans.
But
it's been magic, man. I know the next show is coming up on Thursday at the Comedy Bar, Bloor and Ossington in Toronto. If you're around, come join the fun. The tickets are only $22. You can get them at the Comedy Bar. Our guests this week are going to be Ben Schulman, so the play-by-play announcer for the Blue Jays on the radio. And then we're going to have Chris Black, who, if you don't follow on Twitter at Down to Black, is the king of the Twitter thread, and he can break down pretty much any stat and figure out any problem with any player. He's crazy intellectual, analytic that way. And then we have Julia Cruz of MLB.com coming down. So thank you for letting me talk about my little passion project there. But yeah. Yeah. Next Thursday.
Well, if I didn't go and have fun, I wouldn't have given you a plug for it. And that's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, okay. I got a question. I got a question for Scott. How often do you strike out with guests? Like, how high do you swing?
So Jeff Blair is the only one who said no so far.
Bring that guy.
There you go. And okay. I'm not shocked by that one, unfortunately.
No.
He came on the podcast a bunch. He actually liked us, but his response was, they're cracking down on me. I need to do a bunch of paperwork to do this. And he's like, I'm not interested. And you know what? For a 60-year-old man who's put that amount of time into shit, I was like, yeah, I get it, man.
Excellent. Will Greg Zahn be a future guest?
Can we get Greg Zahn and Hazel May at the same time? Is that possible?
The medalist.
Yep. So seeing you're new to the fun here and everything, Liz, I've played this game before with something that we've been doing as a stupid secret podcast handshake behind the bat here. I'm just going to put it out there to the universe because it always ends up being something. And if anybody thinks of anything throughout tonight's show, please feel free to chime in and time in. So the game that we've been playing was pick two people associated with Blue Jays baseball. It could be announcers, players, whoever. I don't even give a crap if you say a joke with Keegan Matheson in it or something like that, right? I wrote with him for enough years. Sure, why not? Nothing's off limits. So, but the idea is to take those two people and name the podcast they do together. So the goofball that I am, and this is what it brought it up in my horrible memory as how as things go, you were mentioning Greg Zahn and everybody, and I was like, oh, the one of the ones I thought of, and I was like, why not get Shea Hillenbrand as one of the people to come to one of these things in that same horrible mindset, right? And the person that I picked for him to do a podcast with was John Gibbons, and it's called The Ship is Sinking.
I love that. What about Homer Bush and Munisori Kawasaki, and they call it the Bush Party?
Oh, that's so good. No one can beat that. Nobody can beat that. That's the greatest.
Well played, sir. Well played.
That was excellent.
The one I had with Kawasaki from a million years ago was him and D-Row, obviously, and I called it, I Think I'm Turning Japanese.
I love it. Okay.
Little 80s music vibe. Obviously, the wonderful him yelling out during one of the best interviews in baseball was perfect. So, good stuff. I was literally just about to bring Jason into the car. Those damn tunnels on the road. So, anyways.
Service roulette. We're just playing internet service roulette with Jason. I love it.
So, let's talk the series. Standouts from that series. Obviously, there were good things, there was bad things. The hitting being the main central to that point. Scott, you hit the nail perfectly on the head that the bottom of this order is all of a sudden finding itself. The Ernie Clements, the fact that you all even brought up Leo Jimenez, who actually has had a good few games. Spencer Horowitz is a stud of all studs all of a sudden. What are you seeing that with that little bit of the bottom of the lineup? Obviously, those are the guys that we're going to be holding on to, I would think, post-trade deadline here. Because they're quote-unquote in control. So are you excited to see more of any of those guys that are in that ballpark? Obviously, you know Schneider and whatnot, but at this point, is there anybody honestly, in that group you're excited to see more out of?
Yeah. Listen, Ernie Clement in his last 20 games, so that's 64 plate appearances, has 20 hits. Okay, he has 20 hits. He's got an OPS just under 900. He's got four home runs. This is a guy who supposedly has zero power. I like the way Ernie has been swinging lately, because he swings early, he swings hard, and he swings to do damage. And you know what? There aren't enough of those guys on this team right now that are ready, willing to sell out on a fastball. Like, where is hitting the fastball gone on this team? Like, we're relying on the bottom of the order.
In case you hit it.
And you know what? Really. I really do believe that Ernie Clement can be a slightly above average everyday major league player. Am I saying that Ernie Clement is going to save this team or anything? No, but can Ernie Clement play a pretty good shortstop or third base and hit 275 and have an OPS that is above league average? I truly do believe that.
Yeah.
I think it's time for some of these guys to be given a little bit more rope when it comes to their playing time. Spencer Horowitz, I mean, I don't give a fuck lefty righty, honestly. Like, I don't know. Sorry if you're not allowed to swear, but like, I'm just saying, like,
you are more welcome.
Splits, like, I don't even care. Put him in the lineup until he stops hitting. And even then, like, I know everyone was so down on Davis Schneider, and there were a bunch of people calling for him to be put back in the minors. Like a slightly above average ball player who goes through slumps doesn't happen all the time. Like, I don't even understand it at this point. What more can he do? Listen, you want a guy that's better than a little bit above average? That's on the front office. That is not on Davis Schneider, a 28th round draft pick who is literally one of the only successes in development from this front office. So play him.
He'll come around.
Scott, I have a question.
He's going to come around. He's got power one way. Go ahead.
I had a question for Scott. How many home runs does Bo have this year?
Four. And let me tell you something, Liz.
There it is.
Okay. Same. When I was in Seattle, there were three different times in all three games that I went to where the person sitting next to me was a Mariners fan, saw the four home runs on the board and turned to me and went, Bo Bichette has four home runs. And I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot. What a failure. Yeah. 2024 for Bo. 20
something home runs, like, or 20 something RBIs too, right? 230.
I mean, I have to eat my words. I had Bo Bichette in MVP category this year. Like, listen, I didn't think he was going to win it, but I thought he'd be a top 10 guy. And I thought that he would hit for the first time the 30 home run mark. Way off.
I
don't know what's wrong
with that one. He says he wants to win. It doesn't look like it. That's all I'm gonna say.
He's too fussy. Bobichette is very fussy. I'm going to just build on what Scotty was saying. In terms of the guys at the bottom of the order, they look really disciplined. Like, they don't look lost and swingy.
Finally, a approach.
Yeah, an approach. Even our new lad, Leo, he looks like he has an approach at the plate. Like, he's got a plan. He's got some discipline. He's not just wildly swinging. And I know that, like, this must be a really big transition coming up like that, right? Like, it must be pretty scary. And we've seen some of our guys, like, Madison didn't work out. You know, he had to go back down. He needed some more time, whatever. We'll see him again. Is it Madison or Addison? I always get it mixed
Addison.
Up. Berger. Addison. I give him a female name.
It's the one that's not a name.
Yeah, sorry. Berger. Anyway, and so I don't know, man. When I see our young guys taking the discipline and, like, I don't care, man. You be scrambly in the field. That's your role right now, is to be scrambly and learn. You will grow. You will be better. And I believe that. But I think right now it's, I don't think we have the guy. I don't know who the guy is that we're building this team around, right? I don't know. I want it to be Vladdy, but Vladdy hasn't been performing like the guy.
I'm with you, Liz. He's not here right now.
He's not here right now. But you know what's cool, though, is that I can see who would be there with the guys, you know, that, like, we could have a solid younger crew of, you know, decent hitting, decently fielding, good enough baseball players. And that, and, like, if that's all we have right now in this moment, I'm good with it.
It's why I still want them to sign Vladdy, and I don't even want him to sign him as the guy, but sign him. He's 25 years old. Look at his numbers. Look at his consistency. I know he had a down year last year. I know that he has struggled with power to start the season, but he seems to have found his power stroke. I think he's still going to push the 30 home run barrier this year.
He
gets on base.
That's it.
He's like the only guy. So
imagine if we could actually hit somebody in. I know we've been doing that fine over the last, you know, couple of weeks here and there, but imagine if we could actually drive him in. He's there. Cool. And not to mention, I don't know if you guys noticed, but the one thing I've noticed about Vlad's game the most this year, he's running the bases like he's got his hair on fire. Maybe it's because he's missing it now, but, you know, the fact is he is looking a lot smoother on the base paths. And I still love watching him just completely sell out, sliding into home plate, because it is like a yard sale. It's this whoosh.
Yeah.
Makes bounce and dash look even like, you know, kids play, right?
Turns out when the helmet's not bouncing all over the place while he runs and then flying off wildly, he looks so much more focused on the base path, right? I know it's just optics, but my God, that helmet, man, it was so funny that he just like had needed such a big helmet to fit all his hair in, and now that the helmet fits,
he's
good. Yes.
So I've only ever seen one player in Major League Baseball lose their helmet as much as Vlad, and that was Hanley Ramirez when he was playing with the Red Sox,
who also had the hair going.
Yep.
Yeah, and I don't, it's probably still exists because it's probably obviously just dead at this point, but there was a Twitter account dedicated to counting how many times his helmet flew off his head during baseball games. So good stuff. So there was one other big thing I wanted to talk about from that Seattle series, and Scott and Liz, obviously I want to talk to you about Yariel Rodriguez. Has looked amazing though after that first rough start since he's come back. Liz, how important do you think it is right now that we finally have somebody in that spot that can finally pitch?
You know what, man? I don't know. I knew it was important at this point. I'm like, shit. I don't know. It's kind of, it's good though. It's cool. I like it. I like that, like, we have somebody who can hold it down for what, 5-6 innings? It's been great.
Hopefully he builds.
Yeah, I will say this. This is part of my, back to my batting practice time. Yariel was the only guy to stand and just hang out and talk to people. Like, right, he stood there for like 20, 30 minutes signing balls. And because I'm kind of an asshole, I only had a few like major league balls. Like, so I gave him like the Rawlings Canadian Tire ball to sign. And then I've been regretting that. You know, I have been regretting that.
Yeah.
But it's been a joy to watch because I really. Man, pitching's hard. It looks really hard. Like, we all know it is. If we were robots, it wouldn't be so hard. That's my hot take. But we're not robots. And so I was in Cleveland. I watched him get blown up. I've seen him get blown up a few times.
Yeah, that's right. You were at that game.
Yeah, I had a lot of rage in my heart. But, man, it's so cool that he's just turned it around. I don't know what he's changed. I don't know what's going on with him. I don't know if this is real or not. I find in baseball, we try to hold on to things quickly and say, this is the new reality that we live in. You know, I don't know if it is or not, but I'm happy to be here. Man, I wish that we were a contending team. I'd be a little more excited. That's it. It's nice to have, but I mean, if I didn't have it, I don't know how much I'd feel differently.
So yeah. I was actually in Buffalo for his last rehab start before rejoining the Jays, and he struck out 10 batters in that outing in 4 innings. So of the 12 outs he did, it was 10 strikeouts. 10 strikeouts and 15 batters faced.
And they were playing a good team, I think, that night. I watched it on the MLB.TV. I can't remember who they were playing, but weren't they playing the Rochester Red Wings or one of
it was the Red Sox. Yeah, it was the Red Sox. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the Red Sox. And and honestly, one thing he does really well is he knows how to pitch. He's got 4 pitches that he uses almost evenly. Yep. He moves them all around the zone. And that's one of the more impressive things about the guy is that he uses the strike zone so well, right? Like he'll for a 27-year-old who has never pitched in Major League Baseball, the way that he thinks the game is so impressive. And yes, Yariel is going to have lots and ups and downs over the next year or two as Major League Baseball adjusts to him and he readjusts to the hitters and so on and so forth, the cat and mouse game that we all love and know baseball for. But the amount of poise he has for a guy who's never played in the league is very, very exciting. And the thing with guys who defect from Cuba, they've already gone through their fair share of tribulations in life. And so there's not a lot baseball can throw at them to knock them off their focus, you know?
Yeah. And they're playing in front of groups in Cuba that are like, you know, regular everyday full sellout minor league stadiums in Cuba all day, every day at the age of 16, you know? So they're getting that, I'll say that level of professional polish in the Cuban baseball league, you know, leaps and bounds above what you would get it in a regular everyday, you know, situation. Go ahead, Liz. Clearly,
this is an idea that I have. I don't know if someone took it or not, and if they want to, they may. There would be a really good either documentary series, podcast series about people's defection stories from Cuba. Every one of them, people are getting human trafficked out, and it's absolutely insane. And there's like such rich tales there. Do you remember that show, like Locked Up Abroad? Would be people like smuggling drugs and are they getting caught? It's like that a little bit. I remember even the Gurriel brothers, they were like, we were in a hut in a shack and we didn't know if we'd been scammed or not for weeks. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Randy Arozarena was on a freaking raft.
Yeah.
You know, like it
for hours, for days, right?
Yeah.
Weeks. Just insane. Yeah. He went the long way because he wound up in Mexico. And then he, like, it's just so crazy. Anyways, like, I love that idea, Liz. I think there are so many stories that need to be told, and not just out of Cuba. I know I was in the Dominican Republic in January and watching some Leadum baseball there, and the love of the game in Dominican Republic, I mean, it is a religion. It is absolutely insane. We showed up about an hour early, and our scalper took us to the back of the Santo Domingo Stadium. And all of a sudden, like, there's just kids everywhere that are lining up and waiting for balls to go over the fence. And I mean, again, 90 minutes out. So the kids are like, there's more and more of them. And the scalper knocks on the back of the wall. And I'm like, what are you doing? And all of a sudden, the security guard opens it up. Literally, Starling Marte is standing there stretching like 10 feet from me. And the stadium's just right there in front of me. I'm in right field. And I was just like, what the fuck? Like, this is insane. And the security guard was so annoyed. I don't speak Spanish or pick up on very little anyways. I was just lucky my wife knows enough to kind of get us by. But he opens and the security guard is just so annoyed. And I obviously, I don't know what my face looked like, but whatever was on here was enough that he was just like softened instantly. And he was like, come in, come in. And like, lets me like, and I'm just like, oh my God, this is magic. Like,
just, So I don't know why my horrible brain pops to these things, but I just got the weirdest like movie reference from describing what you were going on. So you basically got the Dominican Republic Spanish gentleman coming through and trying to give you the Gene Wilder from freaking like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, come it's with me. Wonder.
Just to make it fun. There he is, the man, the myth, the legend, Jason Lyons. I'm finally going to let you talk because clearly your cell phone signal is going to drop out at some point.
Well, I'm actually just we're just entering into a decently sized city, so I should have at least 15 minutes here to spew enough crap to get me through the week. What were you guys talking about? Less dish.
So we were, talking.
We really got off the rails, Jason.
Very, just like we usually do on this show. So we were talking about the Seattle series and the So we saw we were just getting on Yayrod for how good he's done the last two starts. What have you seen in those couple of starts, Jason? I know you and I were really high on Yayrod when he got picked up.
Well, yeah, I think it's all of the things that you and I spoke about and some of the things that we hoped would come to fruition. He looks stronger after the injury. He seems to be really, you know, hitting his spots, and you know, he's a pretty confident dude, and when that confidence is flowing, it really, really, really shows. So, I mean, I'm overly happy, you know, that he is getting some run right now and is playing well. And you know, to the whole series, you know, I thought the Jays looked pretty good. I thought it was amazing when the crowd was chanting "Go Jays." I know that people were angry about it. The Seattle fans were not happy about how many Canadians were down there.
And, they never are.
They started,
I was
guess,
there, Jason, if you didn't pick up on that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There was a couple, from what I can understand, there's a couple times where, like, in the concourse, people were breaking into, like, "Oh, Canada," and the Americans are like, no, stop doing that. Yeah. So, whatever. It seemed awesome. Yeah. I was just down in San Francisco the week prior and watched Dodger Giants down there. And
it was
interesting.
Good for you.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting to have gone and then seen, you know, like you could, it was dress up like an empty seat day in San Francisco today for the Jays game. Like just, you know, and it's such a phenomenal building.
Them to give Justin Turner a good booing.
What's that?
They don't like him. Die, eh?
No, they don't like him.
Yeah. So let's move on, and Jason, I'll let you kick the ball off here on the fact that Kevin Kiermaier was waived before the game today, but still got to play.
Yeah, I was a little surprised, actually, when I saw that. I mean, I assume that means they found somebody that wants him, or somebody has expressed,
or
you know, like,
either.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think sometimes when that happens, I think maybe a trade has been proposed, and the team has said, well, that's a little too rich for our blood. Maybe release them. We'll pick them up, and then we'll give you a bit of a sweetheart deal down the road a little bit. I mean, I don't think the Jays are in a super great position with some of the players that to try and unload them. Kiermaier's old, and I mean, he's fast, but he hasn't been doing much more than that. So, I don't know. I wasn't surprised, put it that way.
I think the big thing is the CBT, right? Like, if the Jays stay over the CBT, it's going to be for their second straight year, and then they'll have to pay 30% on all overages, which would go up to 50% if they go over again next year. So getting under that penalty to 20%, and then they just kind of they clear the slate and start over, and they only need to clear about $10 million to pull that off. So I think even more than retooling, I think they're really trying to shed enough money here where they can kind of go back to the free agent market next offseason here and not be penalized to go over the tax. So I honestly think it has everything to do with that and very little to do with the logistics of ditching Kiermaier right now.
How much was 100%. On KK's contract? Like, what was left on KK?
4.5 mil.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is enough. Right? That's a good so that number that you were talking about, Scott.
You do that, you throw in a prospect and move Justin Turner, and there it is, right?
Yeah.
You're done. You're under.
Or even to that point, if somebody wants somebody like Kikuchi to be, you know, their fifth starter, that's another good chunk of that money, too.
Exactly.
So there's some of those guys that are left in the one-year deal the remainder of this year to be able to knock that number down quite efficiently and still get some talent back. But I think that was the first domino to fall. I think that was.
I don't know if you guys saw
cards in the right direction.
I don't know if you guys saw or not, but I guess Bo Bichette was doing some. I am assuming that the Giants are sniffing pretty hard on Bo. And someone was asking him if he had a chance to go look at the city, and he said something to the effect of, you know, I didn't get a chance to look, and if I was traded here, you know, I'd have to spend some more time. And it was like, what? Like, I mean, it's, you know, like,
because all he cares about, Jason, is winning.
Yes.
Yeah, winning. That's all I keep hearing, too. I just want to win.
Winning, yeah. And speaking at the same tone and pitch at all times.
Always, Jason.
Yeah.
And the thing about Bo there, this is the thing about my guy Bo, is the way that he looked at that interviewer was like with these like hearts in his eyes. He was so, so personable. And yeah, he looked like that. He's smiling. He's like cute and looky. And by taking that interview, that's such a big fuck you to our team and our management. And like, good for him. If he wants to fire those shots again, sorry, how many home runs does Bo Bichette have this year? Four. He wants to go out firing our shots.
And I think it's like, only this many RBIs. Too,
yeah, so then good on him. And I also, it's really important to me that I do address that we will have a handsomeness hole left in our field and our hearts after Kevin Kiermaier leaves. We lost Teoscar last year. We lost Kevin. And now we lost Kevin. Like, I don't know how you fill that, who's left out there that could fill that, but that is a concern of me and so many other, you know, a lot of the mothers were crying. You know, I don't have children, but I know that like older mothers love Kevin Kiermaier. Okay, like just straight up. So what about
younger mothers love Kevin Kiermaier?
What about So I think
his mother was a mutter.
You're right. And I think we need to think about
his mutter was a mutter. Okay, sorry.
Thinking critically about the handsomest hole left in our field and our hearts is something that, you know, we got to figure out.
So yeah, here's what I'm hearing.
Funny, Liz, really have mentioned. To get better looking.
So here's what I'm hearing, Liz.
Yeah.
Do you need one of us to fly out to Toronto and play center field for the Jays?
Yeah.
I think I can do it.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Absolutely.
Yes. I have baseball pants with me at all times, so I can go.
There we go. Excellent. We got that covered. But you got to unbutton your jersey and wear some gold chains.
I can handle that too. My kids are big on drip, so I know where I'm. I know my levels of drip.
So you're saying we might go more 93 Phillies if we are without all these guys and just be the Gas House Gang is what it's going to be all overnight.
Just that Boston Red Sox team that was so ugly they won the World Series. Yep.
Team Beard. Go ahead, Scott. You had something.
I was just going to say, I know this is a hard left turn, but I'm curious if the gang here figures Kevin Gausman, has he figured it out? And when I say figured it out, I mean like back to adjusting to the way hitters have adjusted to him. His last two outings have been absolutely incredible. I mean, going seven innings, both in Seattle and tonight in San Francisco, and doing it so differently, right? Like he was a strikeout machine against Seattle, which I mean, in his defense, every pitcher is a strikeout machine against Seattle this year. But to come into San Francisco and do what he did in an area, in a time when the Blue Jays bullpen is just a giant dumpster on fire floating down a river right now, super needed. So I'm curious, like, is this our ace? Is he back?
No, see, I'm again saying it's too soon to tell. He could be, but I don't know. Like, I don't know what was up with Gauze earlier in the season. What was going on with him? What's been going on with him? But I don't know. Give me two more starts.
Yeah,
so
I find
this is interesting. This was Blake Murphy mentioned on today's pitches. Only 18 of his 98 pitches were splitters.
That's it.
I watched some of the game today before we left, and I mean, he definitely has changed his throwing position of where he's releasing the ball. His confidence is starting to come back. And once that sort of rocked as a father of a pitcher, if you're hitting your spot over and over again and not getting the call or it's just dropping off the table a little bit too much, it's hard to go and reset and be like, okay, I need to make a change point here. And it's taken Gauze, a little bit. And I really do agree with Liz. Like, I mean, two more starts, if he's still dotting and he's still adapting, he's really growing as a pitcher though right now, because this is tough stuff to do. Like, the Jays are hurting, and if he has a decent start, he doesn't want to hand the ball over to the pen if he doesn't have to. And so he's limited, and he's working his ass off. He's really trying to get himself deeper into games. And so, I mean, I appreciate that. And I appreciate the fact that it is hard to work, especially on a splitter. It's a very tough pitch when it won't do what it's supposed to do. It's a
especially
bit of a balloon.
When you're a two pitch guy, right?
Yeah.
It's tough when you're eliminating one of your pitches. And I know that he threw 12 sinkers today, which is the first time he's throwing that many sinkers in 4 years. So he's aware, right? Like, he knows they're on his splitter. Yeah.
Sorry, is this not a bad sign? Is that not like a bad sign? Like, he's bailed on his main pitch. He has adjusted to his like secondary pitch, but I'm assuming he's still kind of broken. Like,
yeah, baseball's still a game of adjustments at the end of the day. Maybe he's just trying to throw a wrinkle in it, and then next week he's going to throw 100% splitters.
I mean, who knows?
Just enough to mess with everybody. But his season, honestly, has reminded me very much of 2015 R.A. Dickey. The pitch isn't working. The knuckler's not knuckling. And it makes me wonder what's going to happen next year. And I honestly, I'm hoping he has a few good starts here, that some team goes, I need Kevin Gausman. Trade me Kevin Gausman.
Wow.
I need Kevin Gausman.
I'm not down that much on him.
Thank you, Liz.
But
yes.
I think I have enough. I don't
know. Are we gonna have to have Gausman come back and have Craig eat his words on Kiermaier and Gausman within 2 years?
It's the Kevin Rumble. Let's go.
Yeah, the
Kevin. Horrible role.
Do you just hate guys named Kevin?
It's my brother's name too. That's the funnier thing.
So, Craig.
On that note, I just have to say this, though. As soon as I make a bold prediction like that, they figure it out. Last year it was Kevin Gausman. Kevin Kiermaier. The beginning of this season, I was upset about having IKF being the guy that I was not going to buy the jersey for, as you are aware of. If I start saying that about Gausman, maybe he's going to have the best year from now until the playoffs next year. I have no idea. But I'm thinking he's still a tradable asset, and that's why I'm making that thing. And I'm one of the ones that right now I'm in the nuke the whole damn thing. It's not just Kevin Gausman. So that would be why I'm saying that. But him coming back and having a few bounce backs.
Greg, do you believe they will nuke the whole thing though? Like they have given no indication that they're going to nuke the whole thing. In fact, if anything, I think they're going to do things halfway.
I think
that's which I'm not saying is the right way. I just don't feel like
I would like it.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at, Scott. Like I said, right now I'm frustrated with this team, and I'd love to see them, the youth movement and everything go back. And my worry is right now they're gonna wait a year, and then none of this rebuild stuff is gonna happen. Like, if you trade the assets right now, the team control's not there. You're lingering around. Liz and I actually talked about this last week. The worst thing this franchise could do is not trade Vlad in the next 2 years and then completely strike out on re-signing him. You're only going to get compensation picks back.
I think there's only two choices here. There's only two choices. Mm-hmm. Number one, you sign Vlad and move Bo. Now, this is in assuming that Bo is more reluctant to come back and Vlad is willing to still make a deal if the money is right.
Yep.
This is, and if 100%. You know they're not coming back, it is front office malpractice if they do not get every last asset they can for them. It will break my heart. It will break Jays Nation. Everyone will be upset. This fan base will be in turmoil, but at least for the love of God, we will have a direction, something that we have nothing right now.
It would feel better. If we were in tear down with direction, I'd be like, great, but I have a plan. This is my plan. Okay. I'm not inciting a riot. I'm not going to incite a riot. We all remember the Simpsons episode with Jebediah Springfield statue. We're going to take the head off the Ted Rogers statue. Let's go.
Yeah. So, but like I said, that my worry is right now, unfortunately, Scott, right now with Atkins still at the, you know, helming of this ship, the things that are going on, I don't have that comfort level that you literally just laid out. And I don't think a lot of Blue Jays fans do. And my worry is that they are going to miss the window on possibly improving this team quickly. And then it's going to be a depression instead of a recession. You know what I mean? That's what my fear
is. And listen, and there's a good reason to feel that way and to have the doubt you do in the front office, because they have proven time and time again that they're not capable of building a great team. They're capable of building a good team. They're capable of building a good team, but when it comes to pushing your chips in and bolstering a very good lineup, they've yet to show that they can do that. And I do wonder if when you look at a guy like Bo Bichette, if part of his struggles this year is just he realized that going into this season. And I've been 26 and checked out at jobs before. I know he makes a ton more money than I did, but I mean, you know what? A kid's a kid. And if he just feels like it's a downward trajectory, I mean, it's not everyone just enjoys baseball like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., right? Like Vladdy's out there having fun, whether they win or lose, which is not the way to be the guy. And like we mentioned off the top, we still need to find the guy, but having a dude like Vladdy is still very valuable, and he's so freaking young. If you can get him locked up, even if you do have to tear this thing right down to the bones and rebuild, if you have Vladdy, you know, at 28 years old in his prime, when this team's ready again, I'm all right with that.
That's like us finding Jose Bautista and being horrible, and then finally building a team around Jose Bautista.
Yes, exactly.
And that would be my perfect scenario, Scott. So you just laid it out.
Does,
keeping
does
glad
Pittsburgh
I don't want
have a
anywhere.
Utility player they're not using? You know?
So, but to that point, that's where this front office isn't going to find that guy, I don't think. And that's where I at least need Atkins out the window. And I wish it would be right after the MLB draft here and just get it over with, rip the band-aid
off. I don't even want him involved in the draft. I mean, you know, it's
either.
Too late, yeah. obviously.
That will be the problem. I agree. Yeah. So let's talk some good things. Enough gloom and doom
let's
and some
go.
Bullshit yes. here. We won a series today.
Hey.
Woohoo! Back-to-back series.
Let's get
yes.
it.
Back-to-back series. And they looked pretty good. All things around on all things baseball. Outside of the 1,000,001 injuries this team has suffered over the last, 48, 72 hours. All the way down to Adam Mako, Ricky Tiedemann. Obviously, we had Bo Bichette day-to-day. We have Dalton Varsho day-to-day. IKF has been on the IL. It's like, what in the world is happening? We weren't having enough bad luck, but we found ways to win games.
It's kind of scary when you – and I know we're trying to be positive here and focus on this series. So I will come back to this series in a second. But when you look at where this team is and the trajectory of this season, obviously there's going to be – Kikuchi's gone. I think that's a foregone conclusion. You have to get everything you can for Yusei. He's been incredible for this team and has been the backbone of this pitching staff over the last 18 months. But that said, you got to get your assets, which leaves a pretty huge hole, especially with Alek Manoah just undergoing surgery. Not that I would want to see them put a bunch of hope in Alec. I think he should need to pitch his way back into this rotation. So that's two pretty big holes. Now, Ricky Tiedemann would have fit in there beautifully. But right now, it is very scary what's going on, which is constant MRIs on his arms, it coming back, he's okay. This feels like a slow play to TJ. And I'm almost at the point where I'm like, kid, just do it.
Of the horse.
And every time he heats it back up, he's been 27, 30 pitches every time it seems to go back. Go ahead, Liz.
I was going to say, okay, the temptation of Tiedemann and to have him with us and the discouragement there, like, it's not the same, but it reminds me of the Pearson days. Pearson, you got like mono, all the things, and you're like, we can't have this. This is never going to happen. I'm like,
you can't have nice things.
We can't have that. No. My mom said it to me last week.
A lefty replacing a lefty, like, that's the other thing with Tiedemann, right?
Like, I'm just so scared about our farm system right now. It just scares the shit out of me.
Adam Macko is another one. I know, Craig, you just mentioned him, right? He's our number two left-handed pitching prospect. He has been lighting it up in Double A, and he was probably the next guy to get the call up to Triple A, which was needed because right now there's literally nothing in Triple A. Aaron Sanchez is there just to fill innings. Literally.
Aaron Sanchez.
I've been down reporting on the Bisons, and that's all he's good for. And I love Aaron Sanchez, and it's horrible what has happened to his career, but he's not a guy. Right? Like, he's just a placeholder for a guy. So it was really exciting to see Adam Macko taking those steps forward and be positioning himself to be a guy next year. And now that could be derailed. So you lose your two top left-handed prospects. You're trading your best left-handed pitcher. And now where are we at? Right. Anyways, this was a terrible job.
You're
on
really
my part. I'm staying
barrel.
Positive yeah, and yeah. talking about this series.
I can tell you guys this. I was listening, with the MLB Combine this week. A good friend of mine who was the strength and conditioning trainer for the Phillies for like 15 years. I went out for a beer with him the other night, and he is adamant about the fact that the American athlete right now, baseball player, is throwing his arm out at a ridiculous clip right now. Like, they are taking yep. these kids, and they are, you know, like the numbers are so juiced in college, and they're like, oh, that guy's tipping 100. He is just, every throw he takes, he is tearing years off his baseball career, and they don't seem to care. They've taken the SEC and they've turned it into baseball's minor league. And they're taking these kids and they're putting them into extreme situations, and they're not paying these kids to put their arm's life on the line. And I mean, we watched the entirety of the SEC playoffs and everything like that. And those kids are hunks of meat running through, you know, multi-billion dollar college baseball programs. And I mean, I have 13-year-olds that I hope can go and play baseball somewhere down in the States. And this absolutely scares the shit out of me. You got a guy like Ricky Tiedemann who's down there. He's a stud and he's throwing too hard and too much. They need to do something to allow these guys to have an extra day off or something to allow for arm repair, or let them take steroids. I mean, they're not going to throw the ball harder. The steroids would be used to repair the arm. And I mean, you know, it seems silly to put these guys' careers on the line at 23 and 24. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I got a question for Jason, baseball captain. Okay. In terms of the speed, why, I know all the emphasis is on speed now. But why can't we go back to command? Is that like could that be a future?
It could be, but the problem right now, and it's the same everywhere. Like, I mean, when my sons go to a baseball showcase, or when there is a showcase and you go see it, all anybody talks about is the kid that's throwing 75. There's no talk of the kid. Like, my son Jet has one of the best curveballs I've ever seen. He's had kids throw bats out of their hands. He's had kids fall over. One ran to the parking lot and hit under the car. Like, it's a devastating curveball. Nobody talks about it. The biggest kid on our team who throws bullets, they talk about him all the time. There's no kid out there that throws a curveball that they call the boogeyman, right? It just doesn't happen. So speed kills. Speed is what these coaches want. They don't go to a tryout to watch kids throw breaking balls. You can teach a guy to throw a breaking ball. It's speed first. All the rest of the stuff comes after.
Yeah. I don't think we're going to see too many Mark Burleys coming in through Major League Baseball anytime in the near future.
That's Barry Zito. Like, just think back to the guys who didn't throw hard. Greg Maddux. Like, he didn't throw hard. You knew what was coming. It's and you couldn't hit it. Like, I mean, it's gone as that day. And I mean, there certainly are some specialists out there in the majors that have carved their niche. But I mean, look at guys like Skeens and like, I mean, they throw bullets. And
sorry, you know, you're no hitter, by the way, today.
I know, the kid's unbelievable. Did you see him get his all-star thing? Just single tier. I mean, he doesn't even play for the team. And just to watch him, just a total class act, and you know, calls his dad. It's amazing. It's awesome.
To build on what you're saying here too, Jason, I know that I was talking with Jordan Powell. So he's the knuckleballer in the Blue Jays system, 25 years old. He's pitching in Dunedin right now. And he threw about 95 miles an hour in independent ball. And he was doing everything in his power to get onto an affiliate team. And basically, he's been messing with this knuckleball since he was 15 years old. And he wound up in front of a scout just throwing it for shits and giggles. And he threw it at 84 miles an hour and it just danced, right? So this is why the Jays wound up picking him up, and he trained with R.A. Dickey. But what was really interesting about talking to him was that he throws almost 50 to 100 pitches a day now. His arm doesn't hurt. So, because he's throwing all knuckleballs. He's throwing all knuckleballs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like,
you just threw out the John Smoltz principle. John Smoltz has been saying it on MLB Network for years. Not less pitches, more pitches. Because these kids, even the argument of some people say that you can stretch things too much, right? And then the muscle's too flimsy. You need it somewhere level of tight to be able to actually be able to run with it all day, every day. If you're letting it doing all amps, you know, basically, right? You're throwing nothing but bullets for 100 pitches, and you do nothing for 4 days, and then come back and ramp it back up, you're going to get hurt. I think there's some smoke to that fire there with what he was doing. And Smoltz has been saying that same thing for years. So who knows?
Yeah.
The other part about this whole thing is every person's different.
Yeah. Some people love the work and want the work, and their bodies are built for it. And the majority of us are not. Even if you're highly skilled and highly trained and you you work out and you do all the things you're supposed to do, I mean, you can still blow a shoulder. You can still blow an elbow and you know, you never come back the same unless it's Tommy John's. You come back better.
Yeah. So on the offense today, before we wrap the show, though, I do want to mention the fact that we talked about Ernie Clement. We talked about Spencer Horowitz. I want to talk really quickly on the fact that over the last week in Toronto Blue Jays baseball, George Springer actually has 6 RBIs and has been contributing to this team.
He hit 400.
Does anybody want to run with that?
He's hit 400 in the last 15 games. Yeah. Like, he's like a new human being. Last week, but
I think
And new bat, you guys notice that? The gear geek in me today, my son Carter was like, "Hey, he's using a new bat," and we all ran to the TV to see what he had switched to. So, very interesting. It wasn't a Birdman. It should be a Birdman. Everyone should be swinging Birdman bats. Selfish play.
That says the sales guy.
Yeah.
When Springer, I get so mad at Springer. But man, that man loves to play baseball. He's so joyous when he runs the bases. And I'm just he loves it. And so I can't help but root for him and always, you know, always understand why people boo him. But he's fun to watch play.
Yep, he is.
Yep. So, collective group here, is there any other topics that we have not touched on tonight other than other typical shenanigans that anybody would like to? Because we keep this show to an hour, unlike yours, Scott.
Yeah. No, and I appreciate your regiment. It's nice.
I can't talk for – well, I can talk for 2 hours, but I don't think anybody wants to listen would be the problem.
No.
So, any other topics, anything?
Honestly, everything that you touched on, was what I had written down. I did want to talk about the money and the CBT and why Kevin Kiermaier is being put on waivers, but we pretty much covered that. So
I have one thing I will mention. I'm about to lose a $2. Actually, no, it's a $5.65 bet. It's one beer at the Dugout Deals. Because I said Schneider was going to be fired before the All-Star break.
No.
And it looks like it's not. No. The other bet that I'm for sure to lose this year is that this is the year that Alejandro Kirk steals a base.
That could still happen.
You know, that don't give up yet, Liz. Yeah, don't give up on that one, Liz. I mean,
go full circle. He's got to get one in his career, right?
Rowdy Tellez got one the other night. So if he can do it.
Oh, he can waddle.
He runs like he's dragging a piano behind him. So I'm sure that
love our boy Rowdy.
The Maple Beef, shout out to our boy. I'm sure he could snag a bag.
Yeah. It'll happen.
Yeah.
It's baseball. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
So I do want one before we do our picks to click, I do have a go around the table here for who is going to be the first to be dealt or traded. I'm not counting Kevin Kiermaier because it officially hasn't been sealed the deal on anything yet. So there's 3 days because he was waived today that he either has to be sent to the minors or gone, right? So who is going to be the first person to actually be traded from this team?
I'm going to go.
You got one.
I got one
more, Jason. Go, Liz. Go ahead, Liz.
It's Danny Jansen because I don't want them to trade him desperately. Don't trade Danny. I don't know what you're going to do to fill that spot next year. They're Danny Jansen.
I could not agree more with Liz. I hate the idea of trading Danny Jansen. I really hope they don't, but they probably are going to. I'm going to go with Yusei Kikuchi for a few reasons. Number one, I think that teams are going to wait on Jimmy Garcia and wait until he comes back and maybe proves himself with an outing or two. Yusei just had a really good start. Also, is healthy right now. And so if a team wants to try and push in over the All-Star break and get a guy a couple weeks early, I think Yusei is a guy who could be available. And I don't know what the hell the Jays will do to fill innings. We might see Aaron Sanchez in a freaking Blue Jays uniform, but
maybe he becomes back and becomes the Aaron Sanchez. Come on, there's your Cinderella story you've been looking for all season.
There it is. Dirty Sanchez.
Yeah. So Jason, go ahead, your turn.
Well, friend. I'm going with the same. I'm going Kikuchi. I don't see any other way, any other person. But just to be the fly in the ointment, I'm gonna say Bo. I think Bo has made his mind up that he wants to be traded. I think that the discussions have probably started already. And I mean, we all know that he hasn't had a great year, but there are certainly teams that would take this guy in a heartbeat.
Of course.
And
plus the control.
Yeah. And so it's, you know, that's my off the deep end one. And I'm going to throw my pick to click in because we're driving again. And so if I lose you. My pick to click is Ernie Clement.
Ernie, there you
take
go.
Take out the L. His name is Ernie Cement.
Hey.
he's not been acting like that lately. We'll get you to that. So okay.
You're like, Scott, you're jumping the gun here.
This guy. So anyways, and on that fact, I don't think any of us won last week, so I'm just going to be that blunt. So picks the click. Every week on this show, we would pick who is going to have the best week in Blue Jays baseball over the next 7 days before we record again. This is out of the wonderful Hawk Harrelson's of Chicago White Sox lore. And before every game, he would pick who was going to be the best White Sox that day. So that was one of those things. It's the pick to click. So... last week I had Bo Bichette. That worked out well. Dalton Varsho, you had Jason, and Liz, you had Vladdy. So I think sadly out of by defaultism, I think Liz wins this week because he actually hit the ball at least. So that puts the guest spot because that was Liz's last guest spot performance before being officially part of this show. That puts the guest spot at 4 wins. Ken is only hanging on with one, which I'm sorry to say, Liz, that is a hole you got to dig out of now.
I'm ready. I'm taking that on.
I have a strange feeling you're going to own that. You actually will probably kick Jason and I's ass before the end of the year.
I stink at this.
Jason, you're currently in the lead with 6 wins, and I have a lonely 3. So, Liz, you have a good shot of at least overtaking me at the moment. So, but our guest, Mr. Belfour, you're the first one up. Who do you think is going to have the best. And if you want to be that guy that steals Ernie Clement from Jason, I will allow it.
Yeah, for sure.
No, I'm going to go with Danny Jansen. Hit a bomb today. I think he's getting hot again. He's been on a cold streak, and nobody's hotter and colder than that man. I think it's upward trajectory for two-hole Jansen.
There you go. Okay, Liz, you're next because you won.
Okay, I was going to pick Danny, but I'm not anymore. So, I'm going to pick Spenny. I think Spenny.
I like it. Good pick.
I'm
going to
pick Spenny Spencer. Of his winning smile.
Hit a bomb today as well, and it actually got wet. It was a splashdown in the Giants Stadium this evening or this afternoon. So that was really cool to see that he. That's got to be if you're the guy that hits that home run or anybody for that matter, and you hit it in that tank literally in the little river over there. That's got to feel like extra special. You just feel like you're pumped.
It's
up
so
at
cool.
That point, I would think.
We were just there, and the boys and I sat right. There's like four seats every like sort of 30 yards where you're right out at the front. It's awesome. And there's kayaks and people in boats partying down in the, it's like an inlet off the ocean. It's super sweet.
That's great. I feel like it's like a gimmick from a video game that it exits the stadium and goes, like, that's great. Yeah.
It's like the Rogers would charge. Slugfest from PlayStation years.
Yeah. Rogers would charge for that. Those outdoor kayak seats for sure.
If you got splashed by the water, Rogers would charge you too.
Absolutely.
$6 for a bottle.
Did I hear that they're actually charging or for the Corona rooftop bar now?
I heard that. I have not, like, I haven't been up there. And
I haven't been there since it happened.
They're charging for.
I sure as hell walked in there last time I was up there and had no problem, and it was only a month ago. So, but I don't know. So that's the picks to click. So Scott, I will give you one more time to shamelessly self plug your. Fun that's coming up this week in your own show. So this is your shameless self-promoting bit. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Baseball Town Comedy Bar. Toronto, if you're in the area and you're a big Blue Jays fan, you should really come down and hang out. It's been so much fun. We have the Hot Dog Guys, the Looney Dog Kings coming down as our special guest. Our team roast battle is going to be the Los Angeles Dodgers versus the Oakland Athletics. So David versus Goliath this time. And then our panel is play-by-play announcer for the Toronto Blue Jays on 590 The Fan Radio, Ben Schulman. We are going to have Chris Black, producer of Sportsnet, and at Down to Black on Twitter. And then we also have the lovely Julia Cruz of MLB.com rounding out the panel. It's always a ton of fun. Tickets are cheap. And we have a great time afterwards, too. Honestly, some of the best ball talked is just all the fans afterwards. So, yeah, get your tickets at Comedy Bar. Thank you, Craig, for letting me shamelessly plug my show. And, hopefully you're there sometime this summer.
Oh, I will make it a point at some point. I just don't know if I'm going to be able to make it together for next week. So it's only a four-hour road trip. I've done that before and come and gone in the same day, and you wouldn't even know I was there.
Yeah.
I'm doing that right now. So,
not too bad. Exactly. So that's where you're on your way to. I knew you were on a road trip, but.
Yeah. I actually might be in Ontario in a couple of weeks. I got to go. I got a new gig working with this golf sim company, and their head office is in Vaughan, and they want to fly us out and watch a Jays game and do some fun stuff. So.
Well, on that note, you better tell me if you happen to be on this side of the country where I can at least have one beer with you before you wander off.
100 million percent, buddy. Yeah.
So, all right, Blue Jays fans, thank you very much for tuning in. Obviously, Scott, send me that link so I can make sure we share it with everybody on our end here, too, in case they are somehow not listening to your show, too. And obviously, Blue Jays fans, make sure you join us for baseball card night on Monday evenings. I have been opening up packs and just talking baseball about whoever the hell I find. We've been opening up classic packs, new packs, all in everything in between. We're going to start putting them up on our eBay account to actually sell them too. So make sure if you see something cool that you like on the show, you can jump in and start getting that. That's how we're going to try and fund this little effort here to try getting better advertising and getting to more Toronto Blue Jays fans, because that is the goal all day, every day, is to have more chats with more Blue Jays fans here on the Barroom Chat. That is the Jay Bird Watching podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com, fansided.com. And I guess we'll see you next week. Take care, everybody, and have a great evening.
Cheers.
And I'm having trouble finding buttons.
Thank you for listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at Birdwatching GC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/birdwatchinggc. Go Jays, go.
Woo! Nice.